morning show we put on Monday through Friday. We call this the starting lineup. He's Will. I'm Tyler. On the Stanley Pitts and Gates hotline, it is 8:15. It is Thursday. That must mean Trey Wallace from Outkicks joining the program. Trey, good morning to you. Dark mode, love it or leave it?
What's up, guys? I kind of like it. It's a good way to get attention for your football team, and I thought the jerseys are pretty fire. I'm not going to lie.
You say like it, and you say kind of. If you could have tweaked it or you could have maybe moved some things around, go ahead. Give us your Picasso to this uniform.
No, I just think the one thing that would have been cool was the helmet. But I understand it, you know, with constraints around it and everything like that. I thought they did good with the black outline around the helmet part and around the tee and on the face mask. So, you know what? I give it an A for effort, and I thought it looks pretty darn good. I'm not going to lie. I think the helmet would have kind of spiced it up, kind of topped it off, but you know what? They did what they could, and it's got Tennessee football a lot of attention over the last 2 days, something they wouldn't have gotten without it.
All right, so how much of what we saw last week in Tennessee's drubbing of Missouri was about Tennessee figuring things out? How much was about Missouri being just awful on defense?
Well, I mean, you know, Missouri's just bad along the defensive line and at the linebacker spot as well. I think Tennessee came out and did what they were supposed to do, and that was expose how bad Missouri's defense was. I think when you look at the way Tennessee's offensive line was set up as well, you know, major props to the guys that were stepping in. You know, Jerome Carvin, Ollie Lane, they came out with a game plan to run the football, which was going to set up the pass. And I think they succeeded at that. I think Hendon Hooker had great control. And I think this was something where, look, it's not like you went into Nashville and beat Vanderbilt, you know, and put up all these points. You went into Columbia and you beat a good team on offense in Missouri. And I think you can hang your hat on that part. Looking back on it, you know, I think Tennessee took the next step when it comes to what they're trying to do with their football team. And I don't care who it is. You go out there and you put that many points up against an SEC opponent, I think it rolls over to this weekend. And I think it's more about the veterans on this team and the playmakers finally starting to gel.
Trey Wallace, familiar voice each Thursday here on TSL. Is the Joe Milton era over at Knoxville? Hendon Hooker's your guy officially at top of the depth chart. You got to think this is now put to bed for good, yeah?
Yeah, I do. Unless Hendon Hooker, you know, knock on wood, gets hurt or anything along those lines, then it will be Joe Milton for a little bit. But as you've seen, Joe Milton has been healthy, and they've still gone with Hooker. So with the comments that Alex Golish made yesterday and what we've heard out of Josh Heupel, this is Hendon Hooker's team now, and it's as far as he can take it. And I think that's a very smart move. You know, I found it interesting with those comments yesterday from Golish. You know, we all kind of knew this. You know, you can't see what Hooker can really do with that red contact jersey. So I think it's a great idea from Tennessee's part, and just roll with it. No more QB flip-flops back and forth, nothing like that. Let's just go with Hendon Hooker and see what we get out of this thing.
The Florida-Kentucky game, why in the world did Florida go back to trying to make Emory Jones a pocket passer? Was that something that Kentucky was doing defensively to force them into that situation? Because I thought they figured some things out at halftime of the Alabama game, and, hey, run Emory Jones about as much as you pass him, and really make teams pick their poison in the passing game, and then roll Emory Jones out here or there and let him pass enough to keep teams honest. They beat down Tennessee with that. They were able to make the comeback against Alabama. Am I wrong to just look at that and say Dan Mullen completely abandoned what was working for his team and went back to something that wasn't working?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. You know, it's not like Kentucky was dropping eight or anything like that when it comes to what their defense is doing. They were getting a lot of pressure on Emory Jones with Pascal off the end. And you kind of look at what Dan Mullen does with Emory Jones, it feels like he just doesn't trust him. Like at the end of the first half, you know, where you have those timeouts and you've got, you know, around 2 minutes to get the ball down the field. I know you're starting at your own 13-yard line, but you didn't really take any chances. And, you know, it just kind of feels like the way that they went away from their game plan, they just don't trust him throwing the ball down the field. And, you know, that's why I was also surprised you didn't see Anthony Richardson in that game, who had six plays on the game. So look, Florida dropped that football game. That's on them for losing another one of these type games. It takes them out of the SEC East contention, takes them out of the championship contention. And it's just something we're starting to see on the regular with Dan Mullen dating back to LSU loss last year in the swamp. Kentucky could do anything out of the ordinary besides block that field goal, return it for a touchdown to win that football game, which surprised me. Will Levis was under 100 yards. And then you look at what they did at running back. Chris Rodriguez was under 100 yards. So that's a game Florida should have won. But props to Kentucky for getting it done in other ways. But Dan Mullen, again, loses the game he shouldn't.
Trey, last time you were on this program, I asked you to call me an idiot when we talked about Ole Miss, Alabama. So now let's reset. Who's the bigger idiot? Me picking Ole Miss to beat Alabama or Lane Kiffin continuously poking the bear and getting punched in the face for almost four quarters of football?
Lane Kiffin, I'm not going to throw that on you. Give me a breakdown. Come on, man. It's Lane Kiffin for trying so many times to go forward on fourth down in the first half and setting Alabama up with field position, averaging around the 40-yard line. Ole Miss's 40-yard line in the first half. So, look, you're not really giving your defense a fighter's chance if you're only giving them 40 yards to go. So I put that on Lane Kiffin being a little bit too cocky for what he was trying to do, his little headphone, toss before the game. He tried to act all cool and everything, and Alabama just came out, punched him in the mouth. So that's on Lane Kiffin and what he tried to do.
Trey Wallace, Outkick, joining us right now, covers the SEC for Outkick. All right, so let me ask you this, Trey. How bad is this? You mentioned it last week, so I wanted to kind of revisit this week, that if Ed Ogeron loses to Auburn, that this could be the downward slide we see. How many more losses do they have? Because I think the best case scenario might be four, but they could lose to Kentucky this week. But I think they are losing to Florida, Ole Miss, A&M, and Alabama. It's not like that Kentucky game is a guarantee, and it's definitely not like that Arkansas game's a guarantee, right?
No, I mean, the only win that I see on their schedule as an automatic is Louisiana Monroe. I don't see them beating Kentucky this weekend. Especially what Kentucky can do on the run in the running game. LSU's defense just looks pretty darn bad right now and beat up. And it reminds me of what, Bo Nix reminds me of what Will Levis can do running the football as well. LSU's in a bad spot, guys. This schedule does not line up nice for them. 11 o'clock kick against Florida next week. And then, like you said, with the other games, even playing Alabama, this is going to round out to be bad, and I think LSU is looking for a new head coach. They're probably already looking for a new head coach right now, but publicly, I would say they do it once the season is concluded.
I was doing a little bit of reading. I do read occasionally, Trey, and they had a write-up. I know, right? Pitchers, big
fun. It's the first
time
hearing of it, Trey. We've been doing the show together 3 years.
And this will shock you as well, Trey. The reading was actually about gambling, so stay with me on this.
That is not shocking.
They asked seven bookmakers in Vegas, seven, what would they make a line today, neutral field between Alabama and Georgia? Six of the seven bookmakers said pick 'em. A seventh said Alabama -2.5. Hey, Trey Wallace, you're the eighth bookmaker. Bama, Georgia today, neutral field. What do you set in the lineup?
Georgia -2.5.
What?
Yes. I think Georgia's defense is good, man. I think, look, they would be able to get after Bryce Young. I think that they would put pressure on that running game. I don't trust Alabama as much with the deep ball. And I'm talking deep ball over 40 yards, those breakout plays that we've seen in the last 5 years. I think Georgia – now, look, I will say this, though. Let me go back. Depends on who the quarterback is. If Georgia's rolling out Stetson Bennett against Alabama's defense, then that's a different story.
Okay.
He's probably 26 by now, but he only threw for 77 yards, this past weekend. So if they roll out JT Daniels and they actually have a passing game, that's when I would put it at Alabama, at Georgia -2 in Atlanta right now. But, if Stetson Bennett's playing, Alabama -3, -4.
That's crazy.
I like Georgia's defense. They're manhandling these defensive lines. KJ Jefferson had no shot this past weekend. Clemson had no shot to begin the year. Look, they play Florida in 2 weeks. Let's see what they can do there. And by the way, let's not forget this. If Kentucky beats LSU on Saturday night, and I know it's crazy to say, whatever, that Kentucky-Georgia game in Athens next week is for the SEC East. And who would have thought that before the season began?
You make a great point, Trey Wallace, him and his beautiful beard. You can read everything covering the SEC at OutKick. Hey, Trey, we appreciate it as always. Stay dry out there. It's kind of wet out there. A hydroplane coming in the parking lot today. I'm lucky I'm still on four wheels, my friend.
Man, you got to be careful. This is not Talladega in the rain, Thomas.
Be careful. I'm just telling you, man. I'm just trying to turn left, my man.